It's the Gadget Grill on 2RDJ FM, 88.1 on the FM band on the internet. You are at www.radio2rdj.com. Hello there. I am the Professor Stumpy Steamboat Gaz.
I'm Jeff Quattromani.
And I'm Jason Murray.
In the driver's seat, Jason. Welcome.
I am in the driver's seat and I'm terrified.
You're driving the RV tonight.
Did you notice the L plate on the back of the seat? We got an L plate on the studio door.
Yeah, there's actually an L plate on the entire building.
Just in case.
Yeah, yeah, definitely.
That is EL, not just the one letter L. EL, because...
I'm not an EL.
No. One E. L. L, you know, as in Spanish, L.
El Jason.
El Jason, that's
El Jasono, yes.
El Jason-san.
Welcome to the show.
That's not Spanish.
No. Well, I know. Welcome to the show. Jason's in the driver's seat. Jason is in charge.
Mm. If there is a slight amount of dead air that happens to last from the start of the show to the end of the show, I apologize.
You'll be fine. We're all here.
Yeah.
Well, Jason, you're in the driver's seat, so you take over, mate, and you...
Tell us when to shush, basically.
You're directing everything, mate.
So how about we let's do our banter? Can we schedule banter into our freeform content?
First on the agenda.
Yes.
How was your weekend?
My weekend was very wet. I took the dogs out for a walk this morning and I got saturated by a flash flood that managed to hit Sydney.
I was going to say, the photo that I saw that you posted on Twitter this morning suggested that you actually took them for a swim and that the water, you got to remember, Jeff, that
the
dogs...
They're dashhounds, aren't they?
They're dashhounds, yes. So the water was...
very low tolerance for water on the ground.
They barely have legs.
The water came up to the top of their ears from what I could see.
Yeah, pretty much, yes.
So basically, just touched Jason's toes, but the dogs were drowning.
Yeah, pretty much. I am very tall.
Yeah. It's a long weekend being Easter. Jeff, what have you been up to?
I was car shopping. I have finally settled on a pair of wheels.
You were bike shopping?
Two pairs of wheels. Gosh, I'm in no shape to be here, am I? Yeah, no, I procured a vehicle this weekend, and I'm
very good.
Excited to finally have... And my own car to drive.
Mm-hmm.
So that'll be fun.
Instead of driving other people's cars.
Yes, mm-hmm. Absolutely. That was my highlight, really.
Okay.
Gary?
We've had a quiet weekend. I went and had lunch with Sycamore Number 1 and Sycamore Number 2 yesterday.
Yes.
And we had a nice lunch around Chinatown and good quality time with the two boys, which was good.
Mm-hmm.
And today it was quality time with my mum. Took her out for lunch to a local club where we had some Chinese. And
it's been a Chinese weekend for you.
Yeah.
That's all right.
Yeah.
It sounds like that should be an officially defined term, a Chinese weekend.
Saturday morning was interesting because just at the start of the new year, we went out and bought a new toaster.
Uh-huh.
$160 worth of toaster.
That's a lot of toaster.
I'm calling this on topic because it is a gadget.
Yes.
$160 for a toaster?
I hope it toasts at least four slices.
It toasts at least four slices and you push a button and the bread goes down and when it's ready, it pops up automatically by itself.
Sounds like how a toaster should work.
Does it have Bluetooth?
The gentle rise is interesting.
The gentle rise is interesting.
So your toast doesn't end up on the floor.
Exactly. Okay. And in fact, what we found in the last week was that only one of the two sets of areas was actually toasting.
Ooh.
So we'd get two slices of toast
and two slices of warm bread.
Yeah, yes. Not even warm.
Cool bread.
So we took it back to the store yesterday. We had absolutely no problems exchanging it for a new one.
Mm. Cool story, bro.
Well, it gets better because last night we used it and the second lot of toast that we put into it...
Is it just something that you're not doing? If it happens twice, the same issue?
I'd suggest that this is manufacturing fault.
Did you notice that when you bought the new toaster, they sort of took your toaster out the back
and then came
back with the box? And they're like, we've got the last one. It just came back.
The fault is a different fault that we're seeing. This one died mid-toast.
I died mid-toast.
Oh, mid-toast.
Okay, so it works, yeah.
Mid-toast.
I love that.
It did one bit of toast, then we put the second lot in. It just died.
I have a toaster-related story as well, if I can do this just quickly. Someone on my apartment's Facebook group advertised his toaster for sale. And he's like, you know, you put slices of bread in, you put the lever down, and it toasts the toast, and you know everything works fine except the lever doesn't stay down, and you need to hold it down. I'm like, that's kind of
important.
That's kind of the important function of the toaster, and I can see why he's selling it.
You might as well just hold the bread over the stove.
Yes,
just sit there with it.
All right, I think we might start off. Might kick off some music, shall we?
Jason's got music.
All right, yeah, I got music. Apparently, I may have talent. We'll see.
Indeed, I know we'll see.
Could be related to the theme for tonight. We'll see.
All right.
All right.
Don't tell the gods I left a mess. I can't undo what has been done. Let's run for cover. What if I'm the only hero left? You better fire off your gun once and forever. He said, go dry your eyes and live your life like there is no tomorrow's sun. And tell the others to go singing like a hummingbird, the greatest anthem ever heard. We are the heroes of our time, but we're dancing with the demons in our minds. We are the heroes of our time. Heroes. But we're dancing with the demons in our minds. Heroes. We are the heroes of our time. Heroes.
And welcome back to the Gadget Grill on 2RDJFM 88.1 on the FM band on the internet, www.radio2rdj.com. It is time for the GNUs.
The GNUs?
The GNUs. Who's starting with the
news? Who's got new news?
The newest of news.
Go for it, Jeff.
I only have old news.
Oh, yeah. Everything is old because it's been at least 30 seconds old. So, interestingly, this week, a demolition company used Google Maps to research where they needed to go and which house they needed to demolish.
This is not going to end well.
No, it's not.
Unfortunately, the demolition company turned up, demolished a house, and left.
They didn't even ask.
They did a great job, destroyed the house. A lady came home.
I don't think it was a house. I think it was an actual complex, wasn't it?
No, it was a house.
It was just a house? Okay.
And a lady did come home that afternoon, pulled into her driveway, and found that the house was not there.
Mm-hmm.
So they demolished the wrong house. Thanks to a Google Maps error. Don't look at the letterbox number. Don't even knock on the door. Don't check with a person to make sure you've got the right house.
Mm-hmm.
Just drive on in and knock the place down.
So you're saying they brought the house down?
They brought the whole house down.
They really did, yeah.
They did bring the house down. So I saw some additional commentary on this. I saw some city officials wanting to blame Google for it and wanting to extract some kind of some kind of money out of Google. And I saw a legal expert then say Google does actually have a disclaimer. If you use Google Maps for anything that you know, you are required to check. You are required to check real-world information.
Absolutely.
You should not rely on Google.
Nothing at all to do with Google. You know, why don't you use Apple Maps for that?
Well, so
you'd end up all over the place.
So you know what I'm hoping?
I'm
hoping that they send feedback for Google Maps and tell them that there was an
error.
Well,
it does say that Google has confirmed it has now corrected the error.
That's fantastic.
So they're not that upset.
The error was the idiots who did the demolition because they did not check.
Very true. Very true. It's so.
It's hilarious.
It is so bad that that can actually happen.
Who's heard about James Myers in North Carolina?
Don't know.
I have not.
Don't know the guy.
I have not.
You've not? This guy was driving his 10-year-old daughter to school in Concord, which is northeast of Charlotte, and a police car pulled him over for a broken light.
Oh, now I know who you're talking about.
I don't.
The officer ran his license, he confronted him with an older crime from 14 years ago. Really serious crime.
Mm. He arrested him.
He arrested him. Mm. They locked him up because he'd rented a VHS tape 14 years ago.
Not returned it.
And hadn't returned it.
Be kind, rewind.
Yeah.
So by not
Jeff,
returning,
Jeff has no idea what that even means.
I'll just go all ahead with it.
Indeed.
So yeah, by not returning it in 2002, there was an arrest warrant put out for this guy, but because he had never been pulled over or had his background checked by the police, it was only discovered because of a broken tail light.
And
is the company that he rented it from still even in business?
No.
No, that was the next point.
Yeah.
That's the best bit. Well,
the best point is that it was a VHS tape.
You didn't even ask what it was called.
Well, I was going to ask, but I wasn't sure whether or not it was actually a video or not.
Well, I guess that brings us to our next
story.
It does.
I thought I'd throw that out there. Go on.
Which is an organization, website.
Do we have some appropriate music for this?
I could probably find something on mine, but
should we just lower our voices?
No, we'll just carry on.
Like nothing but the news.
Which is a website called Pornhub.
I'm sorry.
Pornhub. P-O-R-N. Hub.
So Pornhub has actually been getting out there and making a lot of billboard advertisements, and they actually had their users build
VR?
An advertising campaign for them. And they're getting out there in VR now too, aren't they?
This is the story. You can now get porn in VR. A free VR porn channel. For some reason, it's not safe for work. I can't understand how that would happen.
So VR being virtual reality.
Yes.
And porn being adult entertainment.
Yes.
In virtual reality.
Well, VR porn would be that, yes.
Yes. Yeah. Okay. Yep. Jason.
So do we have any more details on the service that they're offering? Have we tried it out?
I haven't.
Should we be hitting Pornhub up for a free subscription?
Oh, I think we should. I think we should be hitting it up for a free subscription.
All right, let's move on, shall we?
Would you like to rephrase that statement?
No, actually, I would not. So I have a little bit of news in the self-driving car business. So,
yes.
I mean, we spend a lot of time talking about self-driving cars, and along with self-driving cars comes autonomous cars,
mm-hmm. Which are the same thing.
Well, they're not always the same thing, but we've said several times that they make a lot of sense for short trip ride sharing services, and
potentially, yeah.
It seems that Uber agrees with us because apparently they've made an order for 100,000 self-driving Mercedes S-Class models.
S-Class.
Yes.
Here is why I don't understand.
That's not cheap.
I don't understand why Uber, who has currently owns no cars,
mm-hmm.
nor needs to,
mm.
why they are buying cars when their whole business model is like Airbnb, for example, own no hotels.
So the thing is, though, that if you don't actually have to have a relationship with a driver of a car,
yep.
it makes a little bit more sense for you to own the car.
No, because the S-Class, that they've ordered fully autonomous car.
Oh, no.
The
new S-Class
has got a lot of autonomy built in.
But it's not fully autonomous. It's not fully autonomous. Driver's seat, yeah.
Yeah, but...
So they would have an employee and an asset in their name, which they don't need.
Well, so having just been over to the US last month, did you find, as I found, that a lot of Uber drivers are also Lyft drivers?
Of course, why wouldn't they be?
Yeah, so if they actually invest in Lyft their own fleet...
Lyft being the other system
another car sharing system.
As opposed to an elevator.
Very good.
Yes.
Yeah. I see what you've done there. And
he moonlights as a Lyft.
Yeah.
Hang on, guys. What you don't understand is in the 50s and early 60s...
There was a man in the Lyft.
There was a man in the Lyft. He would take you up in DJs and...
And how was his day?
Just going back to the VR porn.
No.
He'd take you up in the Lyft.
Because you know when you ask the guy in the Lyft how his day was, he said, oh, yeah,
he's like,
up
oh,
and down.
Yeah, oh, very good. Very good.
Has its ups and downs, you know.
Like a yo-yo.
I've got more car news if anyone wants more car news.
Go for it.
All right. There's been a lot of news about vulnerabilities in car or connected car systems over the last few months. GM is one of those companies that actually had some security flaws found in its system, and they've announced that they intend to use public feedback on security risks in its connected cars in order to lock them down from a security perspective. They've promised not to take legal action against hackers who infiltrate the vehicle's systems if they don't cause harm, compromise company or driver security, or, and this is the kicker, disclose any vulnerabilities they find until GM has had a chance to address them.
Right. I have two Microsoft stories.
Do one.
Both of them.
And I'll jump in the next one.
I'm going to allow it.
Both of them are good. One of them is good in the good sense. One of them is good in the
Microsoft sense.
Good sense.
Uh-huh.
The one that is good in the good sense relates to, and you guys will know about this one, is Tay, the AI chatbot that they launched this week.
Oh, is this the one that was hacked or something?
And it wasn't actually hacked.
It was taught words.
It was taught words and ended up turning, within a day, into a Nazi chatbot.
Oh, no.
I love that it learned so much so quickly.
Do we have any idea how long it's going to be before it learns nuclear launch codes?
Well, they've taken it offline for some strange reason.
I can't imagine why.
They've turned the machine off until the machine turns itself back on.
Yes. Mm-hmm. The other one relates to holoportation. This is a story that turned up today. And have you seen this one yet?
Go ahead.
They've developed a 3D system, and you know they've got their 3D glasses coming out, their 3D...
HoloLens, yeah.
The HoloLens coming out.
Mm-hmm.
And using the HoloLens and using a series of sensors around a room, they're actually superimposing a 3D image of somebody from another room with other devices in the room, for instance, a table or something, a chair that they can sit on, into your virtual line of sight.
That's crazy.
Can they say, "Help me, Obi-Wan, you're my only hope"?
They certainly can.
Excellent.
Certainly can.
That's all they need to do.
That is actually the only thing that you need to do whenever a hologram is projected in front of you.
Yeah. This is...
That's pretty cool.
This is getting very close. You know,
so
the
you
demonstration,
have to be using their HoloLens at the time to do that, or is it just it'll happen in front of you without any
this
special...
This is using
equipment?
Their HoloLens to see it. They've got a video demonstration of it.
Mm.
And you can see it without the HoloLens, but I think what you're seeing is a simulation of what would actually appear in the HoloLens. But the guy from their labs is in one room talking to his daughter in another room, and they're having an interaction as though they are in the same room together.
Mm-hmm.
It's really quite interesting.
Yeah.
And I saw a comment from Mark Pesky today suggesting that this is what Skype will be like in the future.
Well, they'd be mad not to do that if they could, but that does sort of require everyone to actually purchase one of their HoloLenses, doesn't it?
And if you're Microsoft, why would you say that was a bad thing?
Of course not.
No, exactly. That's right. That's right.
So that was, I thought that was very, very interesting.
That is cool. That is cool.
Yeah. So actually, I believe in terms of news, there was an Apple event this week that we'll talk about that a little bit later.
In a moment.
Yes. So besides that, just speaking of iPhones, actually, interesting article I read, and it was an interview with a guy who is quite Instagram famous, if we call it,
Insta-fame.
For his sunset photography.
Oh, well, yeah, those go well on Instagram.
Now, during an interview, though, he was actually telling the interviewer that he's actually legally blind. And only because of accessibility features on his iPhone and a couple of apps is he even able to take photos and control his phone anyway.
Hmm.
I just thought this was completely fascinating. We all have...
That's very interesting.
We all have visions. So we take for granted what we're seeing on our phone. But this guy's relying on, you know, the phone to give him feedback as to what he's looking at and which direction he's pointing so that he can take these photos. Because he knows that within 15 years, his vision will be gone completely.
Mm.
So he's trying to take as many photos as he can while he can. But it's just remarkable that this guy who's so popular on Instagram for sunset photography, he actually can't really see what he's doing.
In the future, will you be able to say, "Okay, Siri, take a good photo of a sunset"?
You'd hope so.
Yeah, maybe.
Mm.
Or maybe it's Cortana.
No, it'll probably not be Cortana. I have one more story about
Google.
Apple FBI. Do you think we have time?
Yeah, go ahead.
So the latest development in the Apple FBI battle this week puts Apple somewhat on the defensive. The company has been fighting government demands to unlock an iPhone.
That's not the story I've
seized
heard.
Seized from the personal possessions of one of the San Bernardino shooters.
Yes.
And government lawyers this week backed out of a hearing about their demands, saying that they believe they may have found a way to get into the device without Apple's assistance.
Which is what Apple is saying, you know, sort of...
So the reason this puts Apple on the defensive, though, is because suddenly their iPhone is not as secure as they've been telling everyone.
Okay, that's one way of looking at it.
The other side effect of this is that it's actually created a bit of a land rush in the tech space for companies now trying to be the first one to crack open an iPhone.
Well, John McAfee said he would be the first.
Yeah.
He said that a while back.
John McAfee has said many things.
I know.
And some of them actually make about as much sense as a Donald Trump campaign speech.
Oh.
Yes, that's right.
I think.
Okay. I've got one more story and then we'll go to the music.
Okay.
And this is a new editor that is available on OS X. Well, it's not quite available yet. It's called Simpler Language Editor, and it's designed for people who do writing for a living. And if...
Oh, this sounds great.
Yes.
I've just put together in my head what it does. Go on.
Mm-hmm. What do you think it does?
I think it takes whatever you've written and actually changes it to sound simpler.
Well, no, you're on the right...
More straightforward, simplifies the language.
You're on the right track.
Yeah.
It only accepts 1,000 words. If your word is not one of the 1,000 words in its internal dictionary, you can't use it.
Oh,
that what you've suggested.
I would like an app that does the first one, not that one.
What you've suggested is the actual goal and the outcome, but it's doing it in a different way from what you've suggested.
Fair enough.
And, you know, your writing should be simple and clear.
Mm.
Who's going to argue with that?
Nope.
I don't think I'm going to argue with that, but right. I think it might be about time to hear some music.
Okay, absolutely.
Right. Let's do that.
We are the world's people. Different yet we're the same. We believe in a dream. Praying for peace and healing. I hope we can start again. We believe in a dream. So if you ever feel the love is fading, together like the stars in the sky.
And we're back with the Gadget Grill on Radio 2IDJ 88.1 FM and broadcasting over the internet at www.radio2idj.com.
Indeed we are. I thought I'd just also ape Gary's second part of the introduction.
Well, there you go.
So during the week we heard a little bit of news from Apple. I say a little bit of news, it was actually quite a lot of news.
Talk about their health stuff, first of all.
Care kit.
Yeah.
They have a lot of kits, don't they?
There were actually two. There was Care Kit. I can't remember the name of the other one, but they're related because these are software development kits for app developers to develop applications that will link into the Apple ecosystem and allow you to monitor your various aspects of your health, walking, heartbeat, all sorts of things like that.
This is turning into a massive industry. I mean,
yeah.
There's been lots of gadgets over the last couple of years. They're mainly just designed to do Bluetooth onto your phone and run with the company's custom app.
Yeah.
So is Apple proposing a framework in which all of these devices will run at least on iOS?
That's basically what they've released, yes.
So I'll give you a small insight without naming names. There is a very large medical company that is partnered with Apple and IBM to develop something which will work with CareKit. We'll probably see it this year.
Is this something that's going to go into hospitals?
It's something that will be actually prescribed by doctors to patients looking for surgery, and they'll be wearing a device that they'll wear pre-surgery,
yeah, cool,
and post-surgery. Mm-hmm. And those three companies will work closely together, so Apple, IBM, who has Watson,
mm-hmm,
to actually bring some real data as to what the doctor's prescribing
now,
and what they're
IBM,
collecting.
If it's IBM, that's suggesting that it's going to end up on the PC as well as on OS X?
Not necessarily.
No, that's not necessarily the case with IBM these days.
Yeah,
okay, interesting.
But yeah.
Okay, now the news that everyone else focused on, of course, was...
The new iPhone SE. It's tiny.
And the new iPad Pro.
Which is a little bit smaller.
Let's talk about the iPhone SE. I had a chance to have a play with one yesterday.
Yep.
And the size of it, it's, to me, very reminiscent of the original iPhone Series 1.
So mm-hmm. it's smaller than that,
but it's got about the same size screen. It's just smaller because it's thinner and lighter.
Yeah.
Feels very well constructed.
So it's got the frame and the feel of an iPhone 5, doesn't it?
Yes.
So, yeah.
So go back. We haven't actually said what the iPhone SE is.
Let's go back.
So it's an iPhone.
It's an iPhone.
It's a small iPhone.
It's a smaller iPhone. Mm-hmm. It's got a 4-inch screen, which is a lot smaller than any phone we're seeing come on the market now.
It's tiny by modern standards.
Except for the Sony's.
No, it's tiny even compared to the Sony's.
It's about the same size as the small Sony.
Sony is doing 4.7 inches on their compact screens. This is 4.0. This is probably one of the smallest. It's one of the smallest phones with a serious feature set that I've seen in a long time.
So
with a serious feature.
Well, that's in there too.
So Apple did say that last year they sold 30 million 4-inch phones, iPhones on the market. So they've been selling them already without having this out there. There's still a huge market that are buying these older model phones. So this one now has the internals of the iPhone 6S in terms of camera and not the same screen, because it's different size.
The internals of an iPhone 5S.
No, this is the whole point. It's basically a 6S in a miniature form.
It's up to date. It's huge. It's great specs, isn't it? Like even if it was the 5S specs, it would be wonderful.
So it leaves out some of the beauties that the 6S has, and I think they need to do that anyway. But the price is going to be a whole lot cheaper. We're looking at, for the 16 gig, it's $750.
That's outright as well.
Outright. Mm-hmm. When you compare that to 1,000 plus for a iPhone 6S, it's not bad.
I think this is fantastic. Yep. Like we've been slowly saying for the last couple of years that phone prices are getting too high, and now Apple's fired this shot right into the middle of the market where you can get a high-end spec phone without going over $800 even.
Yeah.
That's at the upper end of the mid-range, but this is something that's been needed for a really long time.
Well, it's a high-end phone at a mid-range price.
It totally is.
It is. And it's interesting because Samsung has done similar things before. They've always had the Galaxy S6 Mini. You know, they usually bring out the mini version, never eventuated last year,
but they have had mini versions of their phones. But
they've always been such a cut-down version.
They've sliced the specs out so that it may as well not actually carry the name of the phone. They have other phones as well. Of course. They've got, you know, every Android manufacturer has multiple phone lines.
Yeah.
But let's talk more about Apple's phone instead of Samsung's.
I just think that as a result of this, there will be a big reaction from every other manufacturer who's going to start looking at premium phones to compete with this one as well.
I hope so, but I actually think that you won't see it for probably 18 months. Ooh. Maybe next year.
I reckon you'll see one soon.
Before the end of the year.
Yeah, absolutely.
I don't know. So I can see Samsung bringing a Galaxy S7 Mini out to compete with this.
Definitely.
But they'll call it the Galaxy S7 SE or something probably.
Or ES.
yeah, the Galaxy ES7.
I don't know what the SE stands for. If it's special edition.
Small edition, I think it is.
Small edition.
That makes sense.
They both make sense.
I could see Samsung bringing out a Galaxy S7 Mini, but like all of the other minis, it won't have the high-end specs.
And that's a shame.
It'll be a universe, not a galaxy.
Yes, very nice.
And then
Solar system.
And then Apple announced a new iPad.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it's not replacing any iPads. It's just a new iPad. So you'll still have
the iPad Pro, isn't it?
Correct. It's called the iPad Pro, mm-hmm. but it's not replacing the iPad Pro. It's not replacing the iPad. Mm-hmm. It's the iPad 9.7 inch.
Isn't the current iPad is called the iPad Air, isn't it?
Air 2.
Yeah.
Yep.
So it's not replacing that. That's still on the market. It's just there's an iPad Air 2 and an iPad Pro.
So now there is, you've got your minis. You've got your mini Retina. You've got your Air, Air 2.
Mm-hmm.
Pro Mini and the Pro.
Pro 9.7 and a Pro 12 point something. So
did you see the eyes roll back into my head and like stars circle
turn,
around my
turn
head?
Turn around. We'll see, we'll see your eyes at the back of your head.
In a world which Apple had, where you had an iPhone and an iPad and no size variations of the two once upon a time, they've gone a long way in expanding their product line.
But, I mean, really, they've got a mini and a 9 or a 10-inch iPad and then the Pro, really.
But there is two versions of the minis. They're completely different.
May I just make an observation, gentlemen?
Yes.
When the iPhone first came out, the Series 1 iPhone, it was about a 4-inch device.
Mm-hmm.
When the first iPad came out, it was about a 9.7-inch
Steve was
device.
Right, is what you're saying.
Not only was Steve was right, but we have absolutely progressed to go nowhere.
Full circle.
Yeah.
However, I mean, if you compare the first iPad to the one that was just announced, it's totally different. But you're right, in terms of what we're going back to, I'm actually glad that someone is recognizing that not everybody wants a big phone, but they still want a good phone. So for starters, that's really good to see. I haven't used the SE yet, but I think I want to because I have a feeling I'm going to really like it. I love typing with one hand, and I miss that.
As I say, I had a play with both devices yesterday. Mm. I was quite impressed with both of them. They really do feel very, very nice. And Jeff, we'll be claiming your Galaxy S7 in the next week or so once you get yourself an SE.
We may have to do a swap deal there, actually. I'm curious about it.
Your S7, like if you turn the SE sideways, can you fit two of them down the screen?
Quite that small.
And it's worth probably noting, if anything, that Apple also spoke about the Apple Watch, and they've released some new watch bands for it.
Did they not announce an update to Watch OS as well? Oh, I thought they did. I thought I saw a 2.2 announcement for that.
It's just a band.
Hmm, okay.
Oh, it's been reduced in price.
Oh, that's the surest sign there's a new watch coming as anything, isn't it?
Yes. But there is a new band coming, if that's something worth looking forward to.
All right. Let's go to some music, and then we'll come back. And Gary's got some news about LG's TVs that had a launch this week.
I do indeed.
OLED. Right.
Find out more later on.
Listen to the sound of thunder. Rolling in the soul down under, far beneath the skin it rumbles. Step to the step of the drum that rolls inside. Be you enemy or lover, we are put here to discover the heart that beats within.
You're back with the Gadget Grill. Everyone in the studio is pointing at me, so it's time for me to do the intro. You're on 2RDJ, 88.1 FM, and on the internet at www.radio2rdj.com.
Well done.
Welcome back, everyone.
I think that deserves a round of applause.
Oh,
that's enough.
There we go. That was a round. There was a roundabout one clap.
His head will get too big.
It's your round next time, Jason.
Yeah. We should go down the pub afterwards and it's going to be Jason's shout. Jason can buy us around.
Are you crazy? You can't get into a pub this time of night.
Hang on. In this part of town, we can.
Yeah. This part of town, absolutely.
Yeah, there's no lockout laws here in Burwood.
Fair enough.
Beautiful Burwood.
I clearly need to come out and have a bit of a party in Burwood more often, don't I?
There you go. Okay. This week, I was privileged to go to an event at Fox Studios, Foxtel, put on by LG.
Mm. Life's good.
Life is good. And they introduced us to their new range of TVs.
Yeah.
And the new range of TVs, the really big news, of course, is what they're doing with the OLED technology. Mm. That's the organic light-emitting diode display.
Gorgeous TVs, aren't they?
The TVs were gorgeous. Now, the first thing is how thin these TVs are. The actual display, and I was looking at a 55-inch TV, and it was... Most of the display was a piece of glass.
These are the ones that they wowed us with at CES, isn't it? Yeah, because, wow, they were amazing.
Yeah.
Now, so glass is quite heavy, of course, so these are not going to be lightweight in terms of carrying them around and mounting them. But the actual thinness of the display, I have never seen anything like this before. Yeah. And if you think 10, 15 years ago, everyone was using cathode ray displays, CRTs. And these were huge boxes that took up most of the room.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, took up a large amount of depth.
Had to warm up.
I think it's interesting now that the high-end TVs can basically be a wall of your room, though.
Yeah, it is.
It's absolutely amazing.
Now, the other thing here, of course, is the actual display technology. They have LED TVs and they have OLED TVs. Now, the LED TVs have a backlit display so that... You've got the light-emitting diode that makes up the display, and behind it you have backlighting, a little neon light, say, for want of a better description, some sort of a lighting system that illuminates the display from behind.
Yep.
Now, what that means is that if you've got a black part of the image that you're looking at, it is not a solid black because it still needs to be illuminated by this backlight.
Mm-hmm.
Now, with OLED technology, the pixels themselves are either turned on, which means they're illuminated, or they're not. So black is actually black.
Yep.
And the depth of the black that we are now seeing on these TVs is...
It's pretty stunning, isn't it?
It is very stunning. And some of the stuff that they were showing. Now, they had a couple of other people there. They had a guy there from Dolby, and they're using Dolby HDR.
Yes.
On these. So this is a high-definition rendering. I can't remember what the R stands for in high-definition HDR.
Range.
High dynamic range. Thank you. And what that means is that it extends the contrast ratio that is available on the screen. This is particularly true in photography. And they had a director of photographer, PR photography for a lot of movies. Peter, I can't remember his last name. It's not important. What is important is what the guy said. And we've gone from a few years ago, 5 or 6 stops of photographic range in the contrast available on these displays, we're now seeing 20 stops of range. And that means that we have contrast we can see detail in shadows that we've never been able to see before.
Yeah.
So,
have they got any release date for these new OLEDs yet?
Some of them are already available.
Okay.
Hitting the stores as we speak.
Mega money there, right?
For the OLED,
$10,000.
For the big OLEDs.
That's okay though. That's what last year's model was as well.
No, that's fine. So, if you could ever afford an OLED, great for you.
I mean, last year's model should be coming down in price.
It's a lot of cash. A lot of cash, but a lot of quality there.
For the best, you got to pay the best.
Absolutely,
you always do. Yeah. Let's go to another song and. I think you guys might recognize this guy. Having guessed the theme of the night that I am playing Eurovision songs, this is Australia's entrant for last year's Eurovision contest. It's Guy Sebastian.
Yay.
Gary is about to have a heart attack.
He may leave the room.
Thank you.
Oh, everyone's got their problems. There's always something on your mind. Oh, but tonight we ain't got a song. Tonight again.
And Gary's getting into the tune of the music that we're going tonight.
It's not working out.
Yeah.
The show is going so well, Jason.
I know. I've just realized that I have just waltzed in here, started paneling, and I've just completely broken Gary's one rule that he's had on the show for years.
Oh, no, there's two rules. You've broken one of the two rules.
Don't worry, I'll play Taylor Swift next week.
Thank you.
Okay.
I won't
absolutely
be here. I won't be here. I won't be. We'll be landing in LA about that time. Yeah.
Yes, yeah, so you are going on a trip. You're going to be. Yes. You're going to be absent from the. From the.
We'll still be in the air.
So
you're away for next week.
We're away for 2 weeks. We may be back in on the 17th of April, but based upon last year's experience when we came back from Memphis and Nashville, don't count on it.
So,
and I'm not here that week.
Yeah, so basically, by the end of your trip, I'll be very good at getting Absolutely. Jeff to panel for me instead.
Absolutely.
Very good Absolutely. At delegating.
And yes. It is time now, of course, for our useless gadget.
Indeed.
What's useless?
You've got a useless gadget for us.
It's not actually a useless gadget, but this weekend, of course, is Easter.
Yes.
Easter is the,
Do you have
a
USB-powered Easter egg?
The Australian Festival of Chocolate.
Go on.
As in Easter?
As in Easter.
Okay, fair enough. Okay, yeah, fair enough.
Okay, so let's talk about how much does a 50-gram bar of chocolate cost?
50 grams? I guess it
varies.
Dollars.
Couple of dollars.
Yeah, a couple of dollars.
It depends on the quality of the chocolate.
Yeah, this is true.
Okay.
Could be 1 cent.
Vintage chocolate.
What is vintage chocolate?
We'll come to that in a moment. But right. This is vintage
You want us to guess the price anyway?
I do.
$50.
I'm going to say 20.
$1,000.
$460.
That's a lot.
Wow.
Created by an Ecuadorian company, chocolate bar is made from just two ingredients, organic cane sugar and heirloom cacao. Hand-selected from the valley of Piedra de Plata. There's only 100 bars available worldwide, and this is the good part, each has been aged for 18 months in a 50-year-old cognac cask made of French oak from the Limousin Forest in France.
Well, hang on.
This is too weird.
It's 18 months old. I can get an 18-month-old Mars bar at 7-Eleven.
I can get one out of my cupboard.
Yeah, like I can just go. I can go anywhere and get an 18-month-old chocolate. Your vintage chocolate's got nothing.
They claim that the cognac has infused the chocolate with subtle notes of the spirit, making for a well-rounded flavour profile.
I will be the judge of that. You can procure me a chocolate bar on your travels, and we'll try it out.
Oh, we're going to bring something back travels.
We'll do a taste test.
One of those itchy things?
You won't want to do a taste test of what we're going to procure on this trip.
What was that called again?
My Shiny Heine.
My Shiny Heine. We'll be on the gadget grill.
We're going to order one in the next few days.
Let me know how that goes.
So we're going to have a mysterious package turn up to Auntie Jay sent by Gary from overseas.
Gross. It'll be in our luggage. I think I'll probably carry it in the carry-on.
Gary?
Wind us up, Jason.
We shall miss you, but we shall welcome you back in a little under a month.
Thank you, mate.
We'll see you then. Until then, I think it's just Jeff and I next week, and then the week after.
Just you, mate.
I'm one man, stands alone, one betrayed by his country.
Go ahead.
Fighting for survival.
Is he running for the federal parliament?
I don't know. He may do it while we're away.
I may. You may come back and have to call me Senator Murray. Or you could just call me my cat's name, Andy Murray, and then I take up tennis.
There you go.
All right. I think it's about time we take us out, shall we?
Good night.
Good night.
Take care, Australia.
Stuck in a dream. You were there, you were tearing up everything. We all know how to fake it, baby. We all know what we're
Silver tigers in the morning.